Welcome, dear ones, to our midweek church service on this Wednesday evening of October 29, 2014. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and those that have chosen to listen to the recording. We appreciate you all being with us on this special church meeting. We're going to be discussing later on how we can make this church better. Different suggestions and input from you all, and appreciate you being here tonight. Our opening song is entitled Come All Christians, and the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1946.htm. Come all Christians. Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for Him more fitted, tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness, each His sacred vows renew. Turn away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew. Of your time and talents give ye, they are gifts from God above, to be used by Christians freely to proclaim His wondrous love. Come again to serve the Savior, tithes and offerings with you bring. In your work with Him find favor, and with joy His praises sing. God's command to love each other is required of everyone. Showing mercy to one another proves conversion has begun. In compassion He has given of His love that is divine. On the cross sins were forgiven, joy and peace are fully thine. Come in praise and adoration, all who in Christ's name believe. Worship Him with consecration, grace and love you will receive. For His grace give Him the glory, for the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story, till mankind His name has heard. I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel before our God for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. We pray that thy presence will be here in our midst, that the glory and atmosphere from above will be all around each listening heart. Dear Savior, we pray that thy presence will also be here with us, in the presence of our Holy Spirit, to indeed comfort our hearts, to lead and guide us into all truth, and to uplift the Savior ever higher, that we might fall more and more in love with Him, And dear Savior, please let the bright beams of your righteousness dispel all darkness, all sin, all wickedness out of our hearts. And please fill our hearts with your love to the point that it overflows to others. And thus we can reveal you to those around us and indeed give God glory. So Godhead, we thank you for being here in our midst. Please lead in our discussion. Give us insights in how we can make this church a more living church for thee and thy glory and for getting our visitors, our guests, and especially our members to become more fully established in the present truth, that their feet may be that much more firmly planted on the rock Christ Jesus to the point that nothing can shake them off. Help our church members to come alive, and indeed help us to be that beacon of light, that lighthouse on the top of the hill that shines forth the light that everyone in the valley can see it and become enraptured by it. So we thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. And thank you for leading and guiding us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a special Wednesday evening church service. And our purpose, at least in the first half of this meeting, is to see how we can make this church better. So if you have any suggestions, if you've seen any weaknesses, any problems, or if you have any ideas on how to make it run more smoothly or whatever you may want to contribute to this endeavor, please feel free to put your suggestions in the room or take the mic and speak them before us all.
Good evening, dear brother, and praise the Lord to be able to be here this evening. And one thing that Elder Rock, that you've been doing lately that I think is really beautiful is how you'll have different brethren lead out in prayer. And I think that's beautiful because what that does is it kind of makes us kind of like a little family, you know. So I think that to continue that is really nice. And one thing that I think is very important to stress is to, when we see visitors come in, or even with our own brethren as they come in, to show warmth to them, you know, to speak to them, or if you're spoken to reply. Because sometimes if you speak to someone and then they don't reply, you kind of feel like maybe they're cold towards you, or maybe you may not want to come back. And so I think as long as we're showing God's love and God's warmth towards each other here, towards any visitors that come in, I think that that is the key to us becoming even a closer knit remnant family.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And yeah, that is one area that I've noticed myself is taking the time to communicate with one another, especially with visitors that come in here. And, you know, sometimes the visitors have gone through a lot of, should I come in? Should I not come in? I've heard this thing about Robert Sessler, or I've heard this thing about this church. They're offshoots, you know. I've heard that they're preaching false doctrine. So, I mean, the visitors may have gone through quite a bit of opposition desiring to come in to this room in the first place. And you can see that God has been leading them to come here, and the devil has been trying to prevent them from coming here. So when they fight through all of that negativity and finally arrive, if they're not greeted in a warm way, or if they're not communicated by more than just one individual in the room, the devil is going to put suggestions to them that, hey, maybe what they heard is really true. You know, maybe these people are a bunch of standoffish, better than everyone else type of, you know, nose lifted up people. And we definitely don't want to put any similarity to that proud, self-exultant image forth, especially to, you know, to our visitors. So thank you for those suggestions, dear sister. I need to be a little bit more organized in regards to selecting people to give opening or closing prayer. And a lot of times I'm so tied up with getting things prepared that I only have like 5 minutes or so before the church service starts to ask someone to give opening prayer. So you know, I appreciate your willingness to help on the spot, but I do need to be more proficient, more prepared for that. So thank you, dear sister. So in regards to communications, I don't know whether it would be good to select different individuals whose, you know, responsibility would be to greet all the newcomers or to greet all of their fellow brothers and sisters here in the room, or just sort of leave it up to the Lord to impress. But I do know that that is something that is very important. Yeah, comment in the room, it says, there's a bit of a soul searching whenever you enter into a new church online or wherever. There's a hesitancy. And that is very true. And that's, you know, that's just being wise, because you don't know what to expect. I mean, you hear a whole bunch of things out there, and you may have seen stories of individuals going to this new church, and, you know, they were caught up in some fanaticism, or they were caught up in being brainwashed to follow some leader in the place of Christ. And so there is that hesitancy, that uncertainty of what's going to be found out. But on the other side, you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Caution. You have the Holy Spirit leading various individuals to come to places where the present truth is going to be heard. And you have the Spirit leading the individuals at different times, depending on when they are prepared to hear the present truth. Because some people, if they hear it too soon, it doesn't benefit them. And so you have the Spirit working upon their heart to prepare it to be able to be led to the church or the individuals or the pamphlets or whatever tracts, that they're going to find that truth that they've been prepared by the Spirit to hear at that particular time. So caution is good. You know, the Bereans in Paul's time didn't readily embrace every single doctrine that came to them purporting to be truth. They studied it for themselves. And we're also told in the New Testament that we're to prove all things and only hold fast to that which is good or that which is truth. So caution is good. But if we allow caution to prevent us from hearing the truth just because we're afraid of what we might hear, then that's going beyond what we should do. That's not proving all things and holding fast that which is good. And of course, Isaiah 8:20, it says we need to test all things to the law and to the testimony. And if it doesn't agree with that inspired word, then there is no light in it. So each and every one of us has a responsibility to test everything we hear by the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And if it agrees with it, it's true. But I fully understand the caution, especially in the situations of you finding out that the church that you're in is corrupt and apostate, and God has called you out of that church, and now you're in search of a different meeting place or a different group of brethren to fellowship with. And there's that uncertainty of which group does God approve of, or which group is standing in all the truth and are not just like the church you left. Go ahead, sister.
Oh, no, I wasn't trying to rush or anything, but just basically in agreement with what you stated, you know, and really as far as quote-unquote organizing to ask someone, I think it's just let God lead, you know, and I don't think that really some designated person needs to be one who would be greeting visitors or our own brethren as they come in, because if you have Christ in your heart, you're going to want to show his love to not just our own fellow brethren, but to any visitors that may come in. And so, yeah, that has to be something that God leads, not something or someone who's designated to do it. Or even with the asking a prayer, I don't know that that has to be, you know, something that's thought out beforehand. When someone has God's love in their heart, they'll want to participate. They'll want to give opening prayer or closing prayer. They'll want to do that just because they're glorifying God, not any particular person, not any particular place, but because they want to glorify God. And, you know, just remembering that the showing warmth and showing God's love, not just to the visitors, but to our own brethren amongst ourselves. And when visitors come in and they see that that warmth and that love is demonstrated amongst the brethren, then they will want to be able to come back. They will want to say, oh, yeah, you know, like our sister is saying here, you know, showing caution, you know, especially when you're first coming in, you're not sure, you know, you want to see if maybe this is a place you want to come back to. You are taking note of all of these things. And yes, absolutely, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, of course, there's no light in it. So yes, of course, we want to be the Bereans. We want to study to show ourselves approved. And as we do that, then by God's grace, you know, God is the one that's leading, and he will continue to lead.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, sister. And it's maybe the word designate was not the right choice of words, you know, because you don't want individuals to feel that it's their job or their duty to greet everyone that comes in, because, you know, it can degenerate into a form instead of coming from the heart. And, you know, maybe the better word to use is talent. God has given to each one of us different talents, different gifts. And in utilizing these talents or gifts that he has given us is a way to worship God, to praise his name, and to benefit one another. So those who have the gifts of communication, the gifts of greeting, the gifts of showing warmth or anticipating needs, are all integral to a church that functions in a living way instead of a cold, dry, formal way. And I, for one, and I know many of you here, do not want to see this home church go towards any type of cold formality, but we want to keep it vibrant and alive and warm. And part of that warmth and aliveness deals with communication. And communication takes a whole variety of different forms. Just one of them is greeting one another. Another one is, you know, is communicating and asking how individuals are doing. Another one is bringing to the attention of the church members here any who may need help, any who may need help financially or in prayer or in comfort or in encouragement. And, you know, some may, like I'm very private, and some may not want their needs being broadcast. But if we're to be a living church, then part of living is taking care of our brothers and sisters, part of our family. And so, you know, those that are very private, the issue shouldn't be brought out in a public setting like this, but it needs to be brought to the attention of their fellow brothers and sisters in a proper way. Amen. So that genuine care and concern for one another is evident. And that's to be in any family. And it's that caring for one another with true interest, true loving concern, that is like glue that binds brother and sister to each other, that will bind this home church together, that will truly enable us to be united in Christ and thus be a power for good in this wicked world. And that's all on the issue of communication. But it's more than just communication, because it's heart going out to another heart. And it's that loving warmth, that loving concern for the welfare of one another that gels us together. Yeah, kind of giving warm fuzzies. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, because they were two kinds of individuals. Well, more, but I'm going to focus on two kinds. There was two kinds of individuals that came to Christ. There were those that just wanted to be benefited by what they could get from Christ. And then there were others who truly wanted to connect themselves with Him because they loved the truth, and thus they loved Him for bringing the truth to them. So you're going to have both kinds come to meetings. You're going to have both kinds come to this home church. But we don't want this church just to turn into a church that only promotes doctrinal issues. We also want to be a church that the love and care of Christ is revealed to one another. So doctrinal issues are extremely important, because we have to make sure we're on the straight and narrow path. But in addition to the doctrinal issues, we need to have Christ manifested one to another. It takes both. And then those who come just for the loaves and the fishes will see Christ revealed, and thus they'll want more than just to be fed. They'll want to also participate, to be part of that warm fuzzies, in other words. To be part of the Christ life and love being manifested. So that's one reason why I like the emoticons here. Because you can reveal so much more just in a smiley face or a big happy grin, or, you know, with the arms stretched out in a Christian hug. And you know, since individuals can't see the person typing, they can't read their expression. There's sometimes the words that are typed in there are misunderstood, or the right spirit is misinterpreted. And so just putting a smiley face or something else after what you've typed, if it's you know, a short sentence or something, can make the difference between amen, and it shows a better meaning with the words. So we got two suggestions dealing with greetings, dealing with having more individuals lead out in prayer. Are there any other suggestions? We were talking about talents and gifts that the Spirit has awakened within us and to be utilized among His people. That's part of edification, edifying one another, and utilizing the talents and gifts that God has given you for His glory and the benefit of one another. Other talents can be with singing. Other talents can be with praying. Other talents can be with organizing. So whatever gifts and talents God has given you, recognize these and see how you can bring these forth or utilize these in this home church or among your family. And that way you'd be able to use them and make them that much more proficient. And in addition, you may find that you have other gifts and talents that you didn't know about and would have been kept hidden if you did not utilize the gifts and talents that you knew. So those who have a good voice singing, please feel free to be bold enough or be forward enough to want to sing some of the songs here. Perhaps lead out in the opening song or the closing song. Those who have other gifts, you know, please let us know what these are. Some we've seen, like Brother Joel has an excellent voice. Brother Joel also has an ability to give talks and sermons. So we definitely want to use that talent more. Are there any other suggestions, any other ideas, any other comments? And please feel free. Another area of communication that I see, and it's a weakness in this church that we need to come up on and make it more of a strong point and less weak, is over the 2 years plus that we've been conducting services here, we've had various individuals come in and stay for a few Sabbaths, and then we don't see them again. We've had other individuals that came very regularly, and then their attendance dropped out. And we see them every once in a while, but not on the same regular basis that they used to. And I'm not sure if individuals here that know these individuals have communicated with them or not. I know a particular individual has communicated with some, but I think it would be good if more of us took an interest in keeping in contact with individuals that have visited here and individuals that were regulars and now have dropped off a little bit. And just to let them know that, you know, we're thinking about them and we miss them, and we'd like to have them come back and fellowship with us and be a blessing to others as well. And, you know, just show a true Christian interest in their welfare. And that can go a long way in finding out, you know, perhaps there's a reason why they're no longer attending. It may be a doctrinal issue. And thus that can be something that can be studied with them and hopefully cleared up. Or perhaps it's a more personal issue that needs to be addressed in a more careful, sensitive way. You know, whatever it may be, because part of the commission that Christ has given to each one of us is to seek to save the lost sheep. And the shepherd has to leave the sheep that are already protected and go out in search of the one who wandered away. And if he would not have gone out and searched for the one who wandered away, I dare say that none of us would have accepted him and come back. So we all at one time were wanderers. And it was the love of Christ that came after us and found us and brought us back to him. And so we need to do the same for one another. We need to take a more positive interest in those who have come and participated in our services and see how we can help them. Even if they never come back to fellowship with us, see how we can help them and work to bring them closer to Christ. Because that's our purpose for meeting here together. Our purpose is to help one another grow in Christ. So that's a weakness that I have noticed here. And I would just encourage one another to take a more proactive approach in reaching out to be a friend to, you know, to be a fellow brother or sister to those that have at one time or another come to our attention here in the home church. And, you know, those who feel impressed to take on that active role and have a particular individual that has come to their mind or impressed upon them and they don't know how to contact them, get in contact with me, because I may have their contact information somewhere. So what I would like to do is challenge our listeners here to reach out to at least one individual a week and seek to come close to them. Seek to try and find out how you can help them, how you can bring them closer to Christ. You know, and at times, and this sort of struck me, at times Christ didn't preach doctrine to the individuals he was trying to help. He just came close to them. He just spoke a kind word to them. Or if he saw that they were hungry, he gave them some food. But this was not in connection with preaching a doctrinal message to them. He just was manifesting a Christian life to them, manifesting the character of God to them. Amen. He was just meeting a need, showing them that they had a friend. So if we do the same, even if there is no doctrinal issue at point, if we just show them that we want to be their friend, that can go a long way. So I'd like to challenge each one to just reach out to one soul throughout this week or this coming week, and do that on a regular basis. Amen. Sometimes just give them a listening ear, as long as it's not a gossiping ear, you know. But each and every one of us have different burdens. Each and every one of us have different issues that are afflicting us or affecting us. And sometimes just giving a listening ear or a shoulder, a gentle hug, can go a long way to helping them. So, you know, pray about it, but I would like to challenge each of you to reach out to at least one soul and see how you can help them. Are there any other suggestions, any other ideas that you'd to like to bring forth on how to make this church a little better, a little more Christ-like, more warmth to our visitors and to one another? And please feel free.
I don't know if you saw the Rob. Our dear brother Joel Nahati put a note in, I'm kind of scrolling up here. He said, maybe before we discuss all issues, how would a godly living church look like, whether here or elsewhere? And then our dear sister Darlene also made a point of, if someone comes in, if, you know, there would be maybe soft music playing or the Bible playing or something like that. I don't know that that would be the case, but these are just two things that were put in the room and just kind of bringing them to the forefront a little bit.
Thank you, sister. Let me go up. Oh, there's Brother Nahate's comment. It says, how does a godly living church look like, whether here or elsewhere? And that's a good question. I mean, that we've touched on a little bit of it here. A godly church would be one in which Christ is manifested from each individual to another. And if there's individuals in need, then Christ in the church family would be manifested to those in need. So that's one way for the church to be living, to be godly. Another way is each individual is united with Christ and then is united with one another. So instead of there being division or cliques or little groups within the church group, there would be all ye are brothers and sisters. So no one is more important than another. No one is less important than another. Everyone is on an equality in Christ. And thus there's no chance for there to be division or dissension or putting down. But everyone is revealing Christ, and thus everyone is working to edify the next. Romans 12:10 talks about, let brotherly love be manifested for one another, or sisterly love manifested for one another, and to prefer the other ahead of you. So, with a godly church, there's no one seeking to be the head, because Christ is the head. And there's no one seeking to exalt themselves over another, but instead to exalt the other over themselves. That's what it means to prefer. You let the other go first, or you let the other go ahead of you. So it's a very courteous, a very Christ-like atmosphere within a godly church. And since we're all human, this is something we're striving for. And so there's going to be different faults and different mistakes that are made. But in a godly church, whatever faults or mistakes are made are dealt with in a Christ-like way. Dealt with in a way that brings the one at fault or the one who made a mistake up higher. And thus they can see and understand that their mistake was indeed a mistake or their fault was indeed a fault, but they're not cast away or put down because of it. But everyone is trying to help them overcome that fault, overcome that mistake, and thus be that much more exalted. So instead of put down, they're helped back up and they're helped to move forward. Amen. Thereby exalting Christ. So that is how I see a godly church is to be, where Christ is manifested to one another at all times and in all situations, especially to those who have made mistakes, or to those who have committed sins, or to those who are at fault in some doctrinal understanding or in some action. So instead of them being cast away because they've stumbled, they're helped up. And thus they're made stronger in Christ. They've learned a lesson, a valuable lesson, of how to grow in grace. Amen. A godly church is where God is the head of the church. Most definitely. I mean, we don't want to go back to Catholicism because there is no man, there is no woman, there is no individual that can lead a church in such a way that brings salvation. There's just no way. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved or salvation is found in but Jesus Christ. And he is the head of this church and of all his churches around the world. And as long as we follow him, the way, the truth, and the life, we're safe. As soon as we start following another human being, we're in danger of losing salvation. So if we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we're living by Christ, in Christ, through Christ, and thus he is leading this church. But when we get outside of the word and we start teaching for doctrines the commandments of men or the teachings of men, then we're asking for trouble. But that's true. Only love can awaken love. So we have some suggestions on how we can make this church a godly church. And I've written down your suggestions, and thank you so much for them. And are there any other comments or suggestions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free.
I think that it's already this way, but Wednesday nights being like a teaching of how to spread the gospel. You know, maybe some of us may have questions or what have you, and maybe these can be brought forward of, you know, what themes or what studies would be good to have on Wednesday evenings to help each other to be able to grow up in Christ, so to speak, of how to get out there and reach other souls. And so I think that Wednesday nights are already like that, but maybe even more brought to the forefront of maybe what ideas or questions other brethren may have too.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, sister. And yeah, we have in the past, we've dedicated some of the Wednesday evenings for evangelism and how to reach out successfully, different ways in taking the gospel to others. And we can do that again. That should never grow old in learning how to witness to others, learning how to spread the gospel. And also having a time for testimonies to be given, that is also important. And that is one way, or one reason why on Wednesdays, especially, I did not want the whole time focused upon doctrinal issues, but I wanted to give time in which individuals could just pray for one another, or pray for God's work, His cause, or pray for a need that they may have that they really want to bring before God. And let their fellow brothers and sisters know about it. And it's also a time in which testimonies can be given. So that is where I'd like to go now with this meeting, because we spent a good portion of the hour dealing with suggestions, and I thank you so much for your input and valuable thoughts and ideas. But I now want to open it up to a season of prayer or a testimonies that you would like to give. And what I can do is go ahead and start with prayer. And anyone that would like to pray after me, please feel free to do so. Anyone that would like to give a testimony, please feel free to do so as well. Dear ones, may we please bow our heads and have a season of prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being here with us. Thank you, Father, for choosing us out of the world and bringing us together with one another for a purpose, for a reason, in just such a time as this. Dear Father, I pray that you will forgive us our shortcomings, forgive us our sins, forgive us our weaknesses and blindness. Forgive us for being so unchristlike in various ways. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll cleanse each one of us with the precious blood merits and righteousness of your Son. And please set us firmly established on the truth as it is in Jesus. And plant this truth in our hearts, that it may be the foundation of our words, our actions, our thoughts, our deeds. And as our Savior is the truth, then Christ will be able to live in us and be manifested through us to others. But dear Father, please put within us your love. Fill us with your love, that this love may be manifested and flow out to others in bringing you before them, in showing that there is a living God who is so completely different from the God of this world, a God who truly loves and cares and is compassionate for his creation, that he has embraced, adopted as his children. Father, help us to be the church that you would have us be. Help us to see exactly what talents and gifts you've given to each individual person here. And please lead and guide them. Encourage them, instruct them on how to use their talents and gifts to edify and to benefit one another. and thus to make this little church group here a growing church, a church that each individual is growing more closer to Christ and with one another, a church that wants to bring as many people with them to heaven and not be content with the little clique that they have. Help us, Father, to indeed be like Christ. And thank you so much for helping us in this. Thank you so much that this world is indeed being filled with your glory. And soon as the waters cover the sea, every single nation, kindred, tongue, and people will have heard the truth, will have come in contact with the gospel of salvation, and thus the end can come. Decisions can be made. So we thank you, Father, for being here. We thank you so much for leading and guiding us in our discussion. And please help us to indeed reach out to one another and manifest the warmth and Christian compassion to one another as you have manifested to each one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
And kind Father, just continuing a little longer with me and thanking you for bringing us here this evening, for being in the midst and for warming our hearts, dear Lord, because truly you are the ultimate warmer of hearts, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, because we truly don't know how you have protected us and kept us from many things that we don't even know of. And so we say thank you, Lord, for that. And pleading forgiveness for thoughts, deeds, actions, unchristlike ways, words, or maybe even not even aware that we may have hurt someone, please forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. And I thank you so much for allowing us to come together this evening. I lift up all the prayer requests that have gone through from the women's study Monday evening or previously this evening, and even everyone this evening, spoken or unspoken. Please hear our hearts, dear Savior. And if I might, on a personal level, ask for prayer for my brother, dear Lord, in Weston, who's having some severe tooth pain, and the dentist was not even able to pull his tooth today. But Lord, we also know that, I know that there's some areas in his life that needs to get right with thee. So I pray most especially for that, dear Savior. I thank you for all of the other times that you've helped us and healed us. And as we follow your natural plan, we see healing and we thank you for that. So I thank you for blessing each family represented here.
And amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, there was also the comment from Sister Darlene about if this church room is open throughout all the week. And the answer is yes. But there's very rarely another church member that is watching the home church for different individuals coming in. So, you know, that is another area that I'll put down as a suggestion. But when the individuals come in, they see this banner here. They see the welcome, and then it talks about church services every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings and Sabbath. And so they have the ability to go to the website and check things out a little bit more clearly. But as far as having someone maintaining the room throughout the day, that we're not meeting here in the evening or on the Sabbath during the day, I don't know of anyone that's doing it on a regular basis. I mean, every once in a while, you know, some of our members will pop in here, but it's not anything on a regular basis. But thank you for that suggestion, because that's a very good suggestion, especially for those that may not know the timing of when the meeting is, or they just want to see if they can come into the room without any problems. And it would be good if there was another individual in there just to greet them and say, hey, you know, our church services are going to be at this time. We hope to see you come back. You're more than welcome. You know, you can visit the website and find out more material. Yeah, that would be good to have music and or perhaps Bible materials playing in the background. The only problem is since it's based on the internet, there has to be a computer dedicated to just the home church itself. And so, you know, you'd have to have a computer set off in the corner somewhere where no one's going to disturb it, and then have piped into it music or piped into it. Yeah, you'd almost need a separate server or have have enough bandwidth coming in to where it's not going to affect the other computers who may be on it. Well, it could be expensive depending on if you have a threshold of internet usage. There's some plans you can get on that are unlimited, and that would be ideal to be able to have something going through the home church on a continuous 24-hour basis. But if you have a threshold of internet usage and you have the home church open on a computer all day long, then that will quickly absorb your threshold, and then you'd be paying for all the extra bandwidth that was used. But yeah, that's why it's good to have a server that you rent and you park something on there, and it's just the server takes care of that for a monthly fee. And that's what we're doing with our website. But that's a good suggestion to perhaps have different members every once in a while pop into the home church to see if someone may be there or not. But I do thank you for your suggestions. They're very good, and I've written them down. And Lord willing, we'll be able to utilize them in a way that will make especially visitors feel right at home with our little home church group, and feel right at home with Christ, because ultimately that's why we're here, is to grow that much more into Christ, to help one another grow that much more into Christ, and thus be that much better prepared for our Savior's soon return. So are there any other thoughts or any other comments or perhaps testimonies or songs that you'd like to sing before we close tonight, dear ones? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming. Thank you so much for your sharing and participation. And I pray that God will go with each one to continue to lead and guide you, to continue to bring you up that much higher in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And may God give you the ability and the words to be able to reach out to at least one precious soul in coming close to them, perhaps inviting them to come and participate here, or to just be a friend to them. So may God bless, dear ones, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. So, dear ones, go with God.